You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.
Hit the lights. It's Sunday night. Welcome to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. I am your host, Rob Williams, riding solo a little bit tonight as we are in the midst of March Madness. And here at SEC Sunday Night, we are proudly presented by Hewitt Domodiros Law, HDLawSC.com. We want to create casual conversations for the serious sports fan. So if you out there feel like you are always finding yourself in a conversation with somebody who doesn't really know what they're talking about, like they don't have the same passion, they're not as into the game as you are, they're not setting aside time to sit down and talk about these things, to dig in, to live on the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs of your favorite sports in the SEC, you've come to the right place because this is where we have those types of conversations where you know you're going to be talking to people who care just as much as you do, and you can relax, grab a drink, grab a snack, and hang out with us here on SEC Sunday Night. I'm excited about what's going on right now. However, as we make our way into scores around the league, we do have a little bit of not the best news when it comes to the SEC. We'll start with basketball, and I don't want to bury too much of a lead here. Obviously, this is an SEC show, but if you're into basketball and you're watching March Madness right now, this game between Duke and UConn was the game of the day. It cannot be overstated how much that just embodies March Madness, what just happened on the court. Duke with a 19-point lead in the first half, losing that lead in the second half, but holding on to just a 2-point advantage. And then the final seconds, all Duke needs to do is get the foul, seal it at the line, and they try to run the clock out instead, turn it over, and UConn hits a three to win the game with 0.4 seconds left. Absolute madness and insanity from an SEC standpoint. The SEC is eliminated from the men's side. Just as a recap, in case you've been under a rock here, Arizona took out Arkansas in the Sweet 16, Purdue over Texas, and Michigan over Alabama, all in that Sweet 16 round. Tennessee, Rick Barnes, Nate Ament, and crew, the only SEC school to advance to the Elite Eight, but earned themselves a matchup with Michigan, who looks like a buzzsaw right now, and the Vols fall. The Final Four is now set. UConn and Illinois on one side, and a clash of giants between Arizona and Michigan on the other side of the bracket. On the women's side, there are two Final Four teams already established in UConn and UCLA, both one seeds. On the other side of the bracket, two SEC opponents, foes, and frequent opponents, Texas and South Carolina, will play for an opportunity for the Final Four, but they don't play each other. Texas with a matchup with Michigan. They're 10.5-point favorites. That's tomorrow, Monday, at 7 p.m. on ESPN, followed by at 9 on ESPN. South Carolina and TCU, where the Gamecocks are 13.5-point favorites in that game. So, two SEC teams still alive on the women's side, and if they can make it to the Final Four, they'll have to win one more game to see each other for one more matchup, which would be the fourth of the season between those two teams. I don't know that anybody has played more frequently than Texas and South Carolina, but they've matched up a lot. They've matched up a lot. We'll see if we get them in the national championship. A quick recap here on baseball. It was a weekend of brooms in the SEC as LSU took 2 of 3 from Kentucky, and I believe every other series a sweep. Georgia sweeps South Carolina, A&M over Missouri. Vanderbilt sweeps Tennessee. Alabama sweeps Auburn. Florida sweeps Arkansas. Mississippi State swept Ole Miss. And Texas swept rival Oklahoma. Interesting weekend. We don't normally see that. We don't normally see that many opportunities for sweeps going into Sunday. And it got done. Only one series in the SEC where LSU takes 2 of 3 from Kentucky. Everything else was a sweep. I want to welcome in now as we're talking baseball, and we'll get into our genius segment, our good friend, Casey, the illustrious and award-winning dude. What else can I say about Casey?
Goofy.
So many wonderful things. Casey's here, as always, to bring us awards.
Wish my sound's not working for you, Rob, you know?
To tickle our ears. I can hear you beautifully. Okay, so that's really all that matters is that we can hear your voice. Now, you might need to hear me to cue you up a little bit from time to time. Have you ever seen a weekend where 7 out of 8 series in the conference were sweeps? I feel like that's a little unprecedented.
That was unprecedented, but the thing that caught my attention was the Vanderbilt Tennessee series, and I just jumped on, so I didn't hear you before. I didn't know if you mentioned the fact that Vanderbilt won on 3 consecutive walk-offs. Including
I've not gotten there,
I believe, today. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's weird. That is a weird enigma.
We don't normally see it, right? It's a little bit different. What does it say? Is it just a weird weekend, or is there something bigger to draw from? And am I digging too deep to say that something that lopsided might have deeper implications?
Maybe this is the year that there is a clear line of delineation between the top of the conference and the bottom. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, we're seeing that complete head scratcher in South Carolina this year. So with the way that their program is always has been really, really good, is having some troubles this year, especially you come off a win against Arkansas, then you beat North Carolina midweek and then get swept by a good Georgia team, though. But yeah, anyway, to get back to the conference, yeah, maybe there is an upper echelon of the SEC this year.
Yeah, and on South Carolina, they actually lost that midweek to North Carolina, but I did think that
I'm sorry.
Well, it started off very competitive, and that's the thing that I would say about them. It kind of fell apart at the end. They ended up North Carolina ran away with it in the late going there, but I do think that we've been able to see the Gamecocks be more competitive. They blew a lead today against Georgia to salvage one on Sunday, up 6-3 about 2/3 of the way through that game. So,
and then the scores were close.
Lost at 9-7. That's what I was going to say. Is they do there does like there's been a little bit of a fight kind of infused into them, a competitive spirit that, and some fun around the game that maybe wasn't seen before. I would expect them to clip somebody at some point. It's just a matter of when and who is that going to be. You mentioned that maybe there's a line of delineation. I don't know. Maybe we are reading too much into it. But if there is a line of delineation, and you mentioned it before, Vanderbilt, who we
have. Moro Casino, America
social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
I've mentioned on here, scuffling a little bit, but three walk-offs and sweeps Tennessee. If we're drawing a line after this weekend, Casey, if we're starting to establish lines, does that put Tennessee in the bottom half line? Because things are going to get antsy in Knoxville. Your boy Rick Barnes was able to hold off the wave of disgruntled fans for a little while, running into the buzzsaw against Michigan, and can't get past the Elite Eight, but still a fantastic run for the Vols. And I think that kind of holds fans at bay a little bit, but now it's baseball season and expectations have changed there. We talk a lot about how when teams, and Mike Morgan says this about football teams specifically and programs and fan bases, but I'll steal his analogy and move it over to baseball for a second. When teams find themselves having a lot of success, it creates a high watermark. And wherever that high watermark is now the new expectation for how things are going to be forevermore. And as Tennessee used to not be the best of programs in the SEC on the baseball field, there's a new expectation after what Tony Vitello was able to do. He is now in the Bay in California, and the Vols are trying to figure things out under Elander. You know, I don't know that they shouldn't have dropped the expectations a little bit as you see a coaching change. Not often do you get one without a drop off, Casey. I mean, John Shire from Coach K is one of the best examples, and that's not a good example to use right now in this moment, given what just happened to Duke. But John Shire from Coach K is probably the best handoff that I think I've ever seen.
Did you think it was going to be as successful as it has been? I certainly did not. Yes.
Under Shire? I thought it would be successful, but I thought that we would get a bigger dip where they found themselves consistently. John Shire, one of three coaches to make three Elite Eights before the age of 40, has an opportunity next year, as he's only 38, to be the only person ever to go to four Elite Eights before the age of 40.
Wow.
So I didn't expect it to be this quick. I knew that John Shire had it in him to be an elite coach, but I thought that the recruiting piece is, for me, there would be questions on that side from high school players and AAU programs and high school coaches and advisors. But Duke didn't miss a beat in terms of recruiting, and they've had the top level talent. And most years they've had the mix of talent on the team in terms of veteran leadership to take them all the way. Boneheaded plays the past 2 years, brutal exits last year and this year. But back to SEC baseball, I think that Tennessee should have expected a little bit of a drop, even though I think they made a phenomenal hire and did exactly what they should have done in hiring Elander.
Yeah, I think he was the guy. I don't know if you went to the hot names, the Kevin Schnalls or the whoever else that you have out there, if you went to one of them, that you weren't going to get a similar. And 18-10, again, I feel like I'm a broken record on this show. Like, yes, they're 3-6 in the conference, but 18-10, like, the world's not ending. We're entering April, where it's going to start heating up a little bit, but the world is not ending. 18-10 is okay. And I'm looking at the standings, Rob, like, there is a lot of parity. I'm not sure there is a line, because it's just a couple games, really. Four total games from the top and outside of Missouri and South Carolina and Tennessee, between the top at Texas 7-2 and the bottom of Tennessee at 3-6. I mean, that can turn in a weekend.
Exactly. And the one that I think, and then we'll move on to genius. The one that everybody wants to talk about, I think, and the school that gets more airtime than anybody else on the planet in LSU, I would just forewarn people and say, don't just write them off because of how we saw them struggle in the early part of the year, especially in the midweeks and the non-conference. That's still a special, special team with a lot of talent and a coach who has won 2 out of 3. So don't be surprised if that team gets stronger and stronger as the year goes on. Again, only non-sweep of the weekend, but they still won a series against a ranked opponent in Kentucky. So
yeah, that's gonna be
watch out for LSU.
I think they'll be fine.
Okay, it's time for It Just Means More, Genius, as the esteemed and award-winning and silky smooth tones of the producer of the Message Board Genius podcast, Casey Cregan, is here with us to let us know what's going on around the league. I'm looking at this, Casey, and trying to strategically choose my order. Let's go here first.
Yeah, what did Craig do to us tonight?
Look at that.
Look at on cue. MBG says, Will Wade's return to LSU is like Napoleon's return from the island of Elba. Hashtag go Tigers. Our friend SPQR Tiger says, it's like Napoleon returning from Elba. The parallels, you can't deny it. An oddly shaped general returning from exile to his homeland, reigniting a fanatical base of support. Panic ensues in the SEC, just as it did in 1815. History repeating itself, and we are here to witness it. Waterloo, Schmaterloo, let the man cook.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to get to this a little bit later, so I'm going to let you give some thoughts here on what you think about, one, this fan's reaction, of course, but also the Will Wade, controversy is too much. We've passed the Will Wade controversy. In fact, I think of it more as just it almost feels like a PR stunt. But again, I'll get to that later. Your thoughts on
a Clemson man or Will Wade needs- or whatever. A Clemson man needs no introduction, Rob. You know, he's a Clemson alum. Now, we had a segment on our show talking about another post and about how he gave himself the nickname The General, and because his nickname was turning into The Pear or something of that effect. So, I think Will Wade is a great hire. I mean, he was the hottest name in the country last year. Took, surprisingly to some, he took that NC State job. Although NC State was coming off a Final Four and didn't really do much. So he's going back home and they love him there. And with the McNeese connection there with the AD, they love him. And why not? I mean, he was good before he got into trouble down there. He was at least competitive, right? Between LSU and, again, South Carolina, there were only two teams in the SEC really that weren't competitive top to bottom. And those were the two. So hopefully it breathes some light, and the coaches they have now, is there a more hated group of coaches nationally than LSU has with men's basketball, women's basketball, and now football?
I don't think so. I mean, it's quite the trio. And here's the thing for me, Casey, is, you know, what do we think about the way things operate now in college sports, where there was an opportunity for Will Wade to address this, you know, a couple weeks ago as speculation started to circle that he may be going back to LSU. And so it's asked in a press conference, an NC State press conference, and he gives the speech, right? I'm here at NC State. We're going to do great things. We've already discussed the plan for next year. We're excited about what we're going to do here with the Wolfpack, yada, yada. You know, a lot of people are up in arms about it. And I don't want to shoot directly at Will Wade because this is just the norm, I think. But is it a good or bad or an indifferent thing that we've shifted to the point where coaches inevitably have to give this PR speech to kind of quell the questions and the uprising before it's time to make an announcement excuse me, if indeed they are planning on moving on to go to...
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.
Different school.
It's like a chicken or the egg, isn't it? Because it's damned if they do, damned if they don't, and five other cliches. I don't know. What's he supposed to say? It's a terrible question by the journalist, and it's a terrible answer by the coach. And both of them have to happen. So take that for what it is, but it's... You know, you hate to hear it as a fan of the school of the coach that's leaving you, right? You hate that question. You have to ask it as a journalist, and you have to answer it that way. I mean, outside of Lane Kiffin, has anyone ever said, I'm definitely going to take that job, but I'm going to finish what I have here? Like, no one's ever done that. So I don't know what the fix is. And the way that college sports is going right now, where kids are just leaving every minute, you know, playing at five schools in 4 years, and coaches jumping ship all the time. I mean, I guess it is the norm.
Yeah, it is. And you said it perfectly. I don't think there's another way to, I don't know there's another way around it from the journalist and the coach's standpoint. The issue is more of the timeline and the calendar and when this movement is and the initial conversations are happening. Because we're having conversations happen before season's end, we're having conversations happen in LSU's case, oftentimes before the other coach has been fired, which they've now done in consecutive men's sports seasons, where they've secured their other coach nearly publicly prior to letting go of the current coach. It creates a weird dynamic in terms of timelines. I'm not exactly sure how you're supposed to handle it if you're the coach that is being courted as the new hire. You can't come out and say anything, and you can't be kind of subtle about it either and drop hints. I don't know. It's a rock and a hard place, and I think the only way to quote-unquote fix that would be to place, you know, hard fixed timelines on when communication can happen and when coaches can move, and that ain't happening. And even if it was, nobody would follow those rules.
How do you police that? Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, you can't.
All right.
MBG says, this Arkansas fan thinks one of Arizona's players may be taking steroids. ArkRider75 says, observation from Koa Pete. Not looking for any trouble, but I'm really wondering if anyone else noticed the bad acne on the kid's shoulders. This is one of the obvious signs of anabolic steroid use. The kid also looks entirely different physically than he did early season. Now, I'm not implying that there was a reason we lost. He's a great player with or without the use of steroids, but it sure made him more difficult to handle as far as pushing his weight around. I guess we'll really never know, but it sure seems suspicious. So was it the steroids that made Arizona manhandle Arkansas?
I think my favorite part about this board, Casey, is really how you read it, because I hope – that is exactly how it was written and how it was intended, because there's a downplaying of like, hey, I'm not really saying that this is the reason that we lost. Like, let's set that aside. I just wanted to make a general observation for casual conversation here. It had nothing to do with the fact that we lost. I'm not salty at all. I'm not coping whatsoever. Just wanted to point it out that maybe we should call in, get this kid some Accutane. Like, it's not a... Like, what?
It usually happens when you start with not looking for any trouble. I mean, those are usually the good ones. That's what makes MBG have to stop and make sure he takes a look at these.
You know, we don't do this every week, but I would take a moment here to applaud MBG for these finds. It's phenomenal. And I know that, you know, he gets this information a myriad of ways, but one of those ways is pure hard work and combing and culling through message boards. And it's just phenomenal. That's why he is who he is, but you know,
it's true. It's great.
A frequent flyer here on SEC Sunday night.
On this show and our show. MBG says, tough times at Auburn, War Damn Eagle, 601 Tiger. They own us in everything. Feels bad, man. Now, I'm sure he's talking about Alabama beating them again in baseball over the weekend.
I got it for you. It was tied in here.
Oh, our friend and yours, Chris Marler, everybody's friend. Like, who doesn't love Marler? He says, Alabama walks off Auburn. For those keeping score at home, the quote, everything school is now 0-5 versus Alabama this calendar year in football, men's basketball, and baseball. Yikes.
Yeah, that's tough. That is tough. Have we seen a time, Casey? When's the last time that Alabama was dominating Auburn in every sport? At this level.
I mean, you were talking before about, who was it, Tennessee in baseball not being very good. Auburn had a real hard time in basketball for a lot of years before mm-hmm. Pearl, really. I mean, I'm sure someone can argue with me a year or two here or there, but it feels similar. It feels a little similar. I don't know. I mean, Alabama's had that generational run at football. Their baseball team wasn't, I mean, they've always been pretty good. I don't know, but it's probably a long time ago.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and you mentioned the baseball standings. And, you know, Auburn came into this year, and overall, Casey, they're 20-7. They're having a pretty good year. But 4-5 in the league after a bad weekend against Alabama, who is 6-3, and has really turned up the noise on the diamond, right? Like, I felt like Auburn was going to have their party a little bit on the baseball diamond to kind of bridge the gap between what has been well documented as a disappointing basketball season before we really turn our focus to Alex Golish and the hype train going into the fall. And every school, I'm not saying that just about Auburn, every school that has a brand new coach is going to have a hype train going into the fall. We're going to have Kevin McGuffey on here in just a few moments to talk about Kentucky, and they're going to have their own hype train heading into the fall with Will Stein coming in. If you have a new staff, we expect that. And football is going to be the driving force, right? But I really kind of thought we may have a little bit of a glimpse of light from the Auburn baseball team to help out that fan base. We've talked about the South Carolina fan base around here as the stats were eye-popping since January 1st of 2025. As J.C. Sherbert documented with Inside the Gamecocks, the number of power conference losses amongst men's sports was just absolutely staggering over the past year plus a couple of months. Now you can see a change has been made in baseball at South Carolina, but Auburn, after the basketball season, it wasn't that they were non-competitive like South Carolina, but just not to the level that they'd become accustomed to with Bruce Pearl. It felt like a drop off. And we talked already, Casey, a little bit about how this falling off of a cliff, or even just a dip after somebody who's had a lot of success passes the buck to the next coach, Tennessee baseball. Now we see it with Auburn basketball. Also, I'm looking for where they're going to find the light on the plains
to beat Alabama. I mean, that's just step one, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Does football do it this year? I wouldn't go out on a limb and say they will.
I think that's where they're going to turn their attention though, Casey.
No doubt.
Because there is going to be hype train around Golish. If I'm not mistaken, that game is in Jordan-Hare. I think I have it here. Oh, it's actually at Alabama, so that'll be a little bit tougher to get done. But a lot of people expect DeBoer and the Tide to take a bit of a slip this year. I'm not one of those people. I think that they'll take a, I think they may take a slight step back, but that looks like maybe 9-3, something like that. But we, I'll go out on a limb and say the Auburn fan base is going to think it could be a major slip. If there's any talking point that says, hey, Alabama may not be quite as good, every Auburn fan in the world is going to grab onto that talking point and have them going 4-8 before the season starts.
Yeah, you have them beat Baylor in week one, and yeah, the hype train is going to really start rolling.
And I think that that happened a little bit last year, right? They beat Baylor in week one. Alabama lost to Florida State in week one, and we saw that that was quite misleading as Alabama made their way to the college football playoff, and Auburn dismissed their coach once again as they were not able to live up to the standard on the plains. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where they find it. Marler with a great tweet. But, you know, I'll go back to this board for just a second. They own us in everything is a tough statement.
Yeah. From an Auburn fan. You almost feel bad.
Almost. You almost do. You almost do. And I appreciate that you, as a non-SEC person, can look at this without bias, as I deeply attempt to do myself as we look around the league. Right. All right.
Yes, sir.
It's fun every single time. I feel like without Craig here tonight, and shout out to our brother who we miss dearly and look forward to having him back next week. He brings this level of off the railsness, I'll say, that's missing from our dynamic tonight, Casey. We're not I'm used to trying to pull things back on course, and now that things are fully on course and I'm looking at my timer and I'm just chugging along right on the schedule, I feel like I'm having an out of body experience. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure how that operates.
Feel off. There's
I don't
no
know
question.
What to do with my hands right now. I mean, I'm used to holding the rope, and I don't have to hold the rope. I've kept it on the rails so well. We appreciate you as always for being here with us, and doing your thing. And we'll be back to talk a little bit more about the baseball stuff and boards as always next week here on SEC Sunday Night. Casey Cregan, the esteemed and award-winning producer of the Message Board Genius podcast. Make sure that you are in tune with those guys and following along with everything that's happening on the message boards and all of our friends over there. It is 8:29 on SEC Sunday Night, live on the Chief Sports Network. And we'll be right back after this with Kevin McGuffey to talk about Kentucky football.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team.
This is SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network. My name is Rob Williams, and we are proudly presented by Hewitt Domodiros Law. And we are now joined by Kevin McGuffey, our good friend here, who is always keeping us on track when it comes to what's happening in Lexington. Kevin, what's going on? How are you, my friend?
Hey, Rob. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. Always great to come on and talk some SEC football with you right here in the middle of March Madness, right? So
that's right. That's right. And that speaks to the passion of this SEC fan base, right, around the league when it comes to football. We began tonight with our scores around the league segment, and we looked at how some of the SEC teams were eliminated from the Sweet 16, and then Tennessee ultimately meeting its demise in the Elite Eight, and now the league is completely gone in the men's tournament. South Carolina and Texas remain on the women's side, and what a weekend in baseball as well. Seven sweeps out of the eight series played. Kentucky falling to LSU, but the only series where the losing team was able to salvage a game. Just a strange weekend. Let's not I don't want to jump too quickly into football, because on the Bluegrass we know the importance of basketball. You mentioned March Madness. Give us a temperature check on Mark Pope, as that's been a hot topic on this show over the course of the season, as we've seen it kind of roller coaster up and down. It has been reported, Kevin, by numerous outlets, the $22 million roster. And we know the Kentucky fan base is one that takes this sport very, very seriously. And as we've seen kind of the, I don't want to call it struggles, but maybe not top end performance from the Cats on the hardwood, I can't help but wonder, like, what's going on in terms of Pope and his future in Lexington?
Well, I will say that I would say the seat is a little warm. Now, we don't know that $22 million has been tossed around. I don't know anyone actually, if it is true, I don't know that anyone around here has actually come out and said it, but that is what's been tossed about. I think if you go back and look at this team this year, it was, we'll just come out and say it, I don't think it was put together very well. And I'm not the only one who said that. You know, if you go and look at Mark Pope's teams, of course, he learned under Rick Pitino, and they want guys who can run, who can press, shoot the threes. And this team wasn't quite built on that. I mean, they had some guys, but it was more of a defensive, you know, kind of a grinded out kind of thing, which I don't think really fit with Pope's the way he wants to play. And then you throw in the fact that, like, Jaden Quaintance and Jalen Lowe and, you know, all the injuries that they had this year. So, but yeah, $22 million for a second-round exit in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, and honestly, let's face it, the last 5 years of Kentucky basketball have not been good. And it started, you know, at the end under Calipari. And last year, there was a lot of excitement because it was Pope's first year. And
you ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Save big money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
He didn't make it to the Sweet 16, but no, I think this is a definite prove it year in year three for Pope. Now, of course, there's also the thing of there's a new athletic director will be, because Mitch Barnhart is no longer be athletic director at UK. So who knows what a new person coming in is going to think about things. But, you know, now we're just getting, like it is with all schools who are out, we're just finding out who's going to leave and who's going to stay and who's going to who's coming in for next year. You know, they finally got a recruit for an actual high school recruit for 2020 for next year. Just this past week. So
I didn't know we still did that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, right? I mean, some schools it still works for, but you know, Kentucky, it was worked under, for years it worked under Calipari, and you bring in the top freshmen and keep them here for a year and see what happens. The first 7 or 8 years it worked great. The last few it didn't. But circle back and answer your question, I think the seat is definitely warm. I wouldn't say it's hot. If we have another year like we did, if they have another year like they did this year, I'd say that the seat will be really hot.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that that was kind of the question this year, is how hot could it get? And you know, the OA almost half court season saving heave to take them to overtime to survive that first round game, I think maybe reduced the heat just a little bit. Because as we look, Kevin, in these NCAA tournament games, nobody really remembers all the details of how you got there and what happened a year, 2 years, 5 years down the road. It's just this coach has X amount of Elite Eights, this many Sweet 16s, this many Final Fours, et cetera. Or if you're in the other boat, this many first round exits, this many round of 32 exits. And so you didn't want to go out in that first round. I think that would have really turned the heat up a lot more on Pope. And I'll be interested to see, as you mentioned, kind of what the roster construction looks like going into 2026, 2027, this summer, and then looking into the season, getting started late in the fall and in the winter.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you. I said there's a couple guys who had redshirted last year are coming back, will be coming back this year. So we don't know. Obviously, they haven't seen game action, so we don't know what they're going to be like. And then can they get Malachi Moreno to come back? Can they get Colin Chandler to come back? There's a lot of talk about Chandler going back to BYU. I don't know, but that started, I think, heard a little bit of it during the season. So, we got to find those guys. And then, like I said, they need to do a better job, I think, of finding players that will fit the way that Pope wants to play. And they had that more the first year than last year. And like I said, injuries, everybody has injuries, but yeah, injuries definitely, I think, derailed what this team could have been. I think it could have been better, but we'll see.
No doubt about it. And, I think that, of course, that's the most important sport in Lexington, but the focus on football has continued to increase. And you're in an interesting time with Kentucky football because it's a new staff, right? And we've had these conversations with so many teams across the league already as we've started to do our spring previews and look at a couple of different programs. I don't want to skip over baseball, as Kentucky baseball is in a good spot. But we know that with spring football happening, and I was just talking to Casey about every team that has a new staff is going to have some level of hype train. With Will Stein coming in and bringing a new group, let me ask you this question first. What is the excitement like in Lexington around what this Kentucky program can be under a new coach?
Right now, I think the excitement level is pretty high. Obviously, you got Mark Stoops, who had been the dean of SEC coaches, was out after 13 years. Bringing in Will Stein, he's from Kentucky. His dad played at Kentucky. There's a lot of excitement around this program. I think it's just a matter of, we're actually, April 18th, they're going to have a spring game. The last few years under Stoops, they haven't really had a spring game. It was more of a controlled scrimmage kind of thing. But Stein's like, yeah, we're going to get out there, we're going to hit, and we're going to play football. And I think anytime there's a change, there's going to be excitement around the program. And I think people have seen what he did as offensive coordinator at Oregon and places before that. And to be honest with you, I've talked with other people, and you think about it, the air raid in essence was born in Kentucky, per se, with Hal Mumme and and Mike Leach when they were here. And 30 years later, there's still a great portion of this fan base that thinks that's the only way you can win in football is, you know, run, you know, pass the ball. And, you know, granted, Stoops, of course, was the winningest coach here in Kentucky, but it wasn't always the most exciting football.
You don't say.
You're right. I mean, he'd be just as happy with a 10-6 win as a 42. Of course, all wins are important, but especially in the SEC. But, you know, he'd be just as happy with a 10-6 win as a 42-32.
You can say it, Kevin. It has not been fun to watch. Even if it has been satisfying in the end for some Kentucky fans, given the winning is and reaching, you know, program highs at some mm-hmm. points, and overall, like you said, the winningest coach in program history, but it's not an exciting brand of football, and I think that shortens your leash a little bit mm-hmm. as a head coach if you're not winning and it's boring. Gets you in a little more hot water. Right. I do think it's just going to be jarring for the rest of the league to look around and, mm-hmm. and maybe for Kentucky fans as well. But as you mentioned, the stark comparison to what it seemingly will look like mm-hmm. versus what we've seen for the past decade plus under Stoops.
Oh yeah. You're absolutely right. And it'll be, you know, whatever cliche you want, night and day. But yeah, it's there's a lot of excitement because as I said, there's, you know, people were hoping that it's what we saw watching Oregon play the last few years is what we're going to get this year. And we'll see. A lot of it depends on how well a lot of these new players, like we just talked about with the basketball team, how well some of these new guys come in and how well they adapt to everything and how quickly, I think, will go a long way to whether this is going to be a successful season. But I will say, I think you got to give, they'll definitely give Stein, you know, a few years. You know, two or three years, especially playing in the SEC, and of course now with the 9-game schedule, you know, because Kentucky, you know, like everyone else, lost one of their, you know, you always figured Kentucky started every year with what you thought was three victories. Usually play two teams from the MAC and then someone from either FCS or another, you know, one of the mid-major conferences. So that's, you know, down to two games this year. And of course, Kentucky had dominated Louisville for the better part of the last 5 or 6 years. And that hasn't happened anymore. So he's got to figure out a way to get that flipped. So I just use the phrase, it's going to be interesting to see. And I think if you look at this, roster, a phrase that I've used a lot is kind of a high risk, high reward. Because, you know, a lot of these guys that they brought in so far can be the guy, but they've never been the guy, you know, never been the main focus of the offense. So, like I said, how well they mesh with this, learning this offense, we'll get a better idea coming up here in about a month, a little less than a month for the spring game. You know, not that you can always tell that much from a spring game, but at least it'll be something fun to everybody to watch. That's for sure.
No doubt about it, and beautiful segue there as you kind of teed me up for the question that I have sitting right in front of me. As you look at the roster, what are the names that jump off to you? And maybe that's hard to do, Kevin. As you just mentioned, a lot of guys who maybe haven't been in this role before, but if we're talking to not just our Kentucky fans, and we love our mm-hmm. Kentucky fans, and we know that they're going to be tuned into this episode maybe a little more than everybody else, but the true blue SEC fans want to hear about every program. Because inevitably you may be playing that program. And so we want to know what you're looking at. It's kind of a fan scouting experience here in mm-hmm. the spring. Who are the names that we're looking out for that potentially could step into some of these bigger roles, whether it's on offense or defense? Because like you said, rosters are new every year. Sometimes mm-hmm. we have guys retained that are going to stand out, and sometimes it's totally new names and we don't know exactly what we're looking for. You tell us in your expertise,
excuse me,
what are the names for you?
Well, I think at first it starts with quarterback, with Kenny Minchie coming in here from Notre Dame. He's given the keys to the castle, so to speak. For those who may not remember, Kentucky was all in on Sam Levitt when he first put his name in the portal, and for about 36 hours here, everyone was convinced that that he was coming here and was going to be the quarterback. But obviously that did not turn out. But he's the guy. He's going to be your clear quarterback one heading into the season. And that I think it's where you start. As I said, you know, was at Notre Dame for 2 years, lost out on the starting job 2 years ago when they brought in Riley Leonard. And then last year lost out to CJ Carr. He's done well when he's played. He just doesn't have a lot of reps. Doesn't have a lot of reps, and also doesn't have a lot of reps in like pressure situations. You know, he came in, played, you know, for lack of a better term. I know some people hate this term, garbage time. But that was kind of the extent of what he did. So, you know, it starts with him, and then, you know, you move to the running backs. CJ Baxter was the top ranked running back in the 2023 class coming out. He played for Texas, and then he was injured the last couple years. And so now he's looking for a fresh start here at Kentucky. He's another guy, you know, like I said, it's kind of the high risk, high reward thing. If he comes in and does, you know, what he did as a freshman at Texas, and things are going to be great. Then you also have Javonte Barnes, another highly talented player, was playing at Oklahoma. Again, another guy looking for a fresh start. And so Stein picked, they got him because Kentucky only has of their top four running backs, you know, last year, only one of them, Jason Patterson, is the only one that's back. And there was a lot of talk around this program that that Dante Dowdell, when he transferred, that raised some eyebrows because he, going all the way back to his early part of his career, he started at Oregon with Stein, and everybody thought, okay, well, these two are going to get back together and it's going to be great. And then he put his name in the portal and then went to, he ended up at Georgia. So, and then the same with the receivers, Kentucky lost a ton of production from last season. The big guy to talk about is Nick Anderson. Another highly talented player coming out of high school, but had trouble with injuries at LSU. Again, they're hoping for a return to form. A guy, kind of an under-the-radar guy that a lot of people aren't talking about yet. A guy I'm really looking forward to seeing play is Shane Carr, who actually played at the FCS ranks in Southern Utah. Had 81 receptions for almost 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns. Playing at the FCS level over a couple of years. I think he's a guy that can come in and do some really good things. And then, you know, I'd put Kentucky's tight end room up against almost anyone's. And Willie Rodriguez is the name to know.
Love him.
I
love him. We actually did a draft earlier before we started working our way through, and we picked an offense. So Casey was on, Craig and I. And so the three of us, we worked our way through, and everybody picked, you know, their quarterback, their running back, whatever. And I got Rodriguez with my tight end pick because that's somebody, again, like you said, everybody needs to know him, but maybe not talked about as much because he's at Kentucky as opposed to maybe one of the guys at Georgia or something like that.
Right. And so you see what – and what we're talking about earlier, you see how Oregon did with the tight ends there. The thing for Kentucky, we've been screaming for years, throw to the tight end. You'd have back in the days of, you know, CJ Conrad, he would have one game where he'd catch like six passes and two touchdowns and then go four games without, you know, catching a pass. And every year Stoops, you know, when Vince Marrow was here, you know, coaching, they always said, we're going to throw the tight ends more. It never happened. They always said it. It never happened. But like I said, I think Rodriguez could legitimately be an all-SEC kind of player, type player this year. And then just a couple names on just thrown out on the defense. McKees Humphrey-Grace up on the defensive line. He was a highly coveted transfer from the FCS level. South Dakota last year, did some really good things for Kentucky. I think he's got an all SEC potential. And then a couple linebackers, Grant Godfrey, stepped in and played really well last year when Alex Safari was injured. And then Kentucky brought in brought in a couple of guys through the portal. One of them has a very familiar name. It's Tavion. Make sure I'm getting his name right here. Got Elijah Barnes first. Let me talk about Elijah Barnes, another guy from Texas. He was a top 100 player in the nation. Didn't play a whole lot at Texas. Now he's in Kentucky. So it's another guy that they think can step right in and play. And then Tavion Wallace, who's younger brother of a former UK star and current Carolina Panther, Trevin Wallace, played in 9 games for Arkansas last year. Again, he's a guy they think can possibly come in and start from day one. The one thing about Kentucky's defense, there's a lot of talent. They're just really inexperienced. And I guess you could say that's like a thing with the whole team. You've got a lot of guys, like I said, the potential is there. They just don't have the reps and don't have, haven't been in that kind of situation. So it'll be interesting to see once you get into the heart of the schedule, how all these guys perform. So like I said, I've said it a few times, like I said, the high risk, high reward. If all these guys pay off and do what the coaching staff thinks they can do, then I think a bowl. I'm not going to sit here and say, I know you were going to talk about predictions at one point, but I'm not going to sit here and say that Kentucky's going to go 9-3. But I do think with some breaks, I think they could get to 6-6 and possibly make a bowl game. And I think in Stein's first year, that would be a heck of an accomplishment, actually, considering how the last couple of years have gone here. So, but like I said, those are some names that I'm looking at.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Let's be honest. Buying cannabis shouldn't be complicated, sketchy, or low quality. That's why I want to tell you about Mood.com. That's Mood.com. Mood ships federally legal cannabis straight to your door. No medical card, no hassle. And here's the kicker. The quality is better than anything you'll find at your local dispensary. Yeah, I said it. Whether you're into edibles, concentrates, flower, or just looking to explore, you'll find it all at Mood. And it's not just the variety that makes them stand out. Every product is sourced from small, American-owned family farms that care deeply about what they grow. It's cannabis you can trust, delivered discreetly, and ready to elevate your mood. And because you're a listener, you get 20% off your first order. Just head to Mood.com. That's Mood.com to get started.
Especially on offense and defense. And we'll see, for everybody watching, when we get to September, those will be names that you should definitely check out. But like I said, at the end of the day, I think it depends. The whole thing just depends on how Minshew comes in and how he meshes with this lineup or with this new offense. So
no doubt about it. I think that you're absolutely right. And this goes without saying, and it doesn't take us being experts to tell anybody this, but it does start at the quarterback position, especially in an offense that's going to try to throw the ball and be a little more high flying. Even in an offense that Stoops ran where it was run based, there's been a couple of years as of late, Kevin, where the quarterback has left a lot on the table. Mm-hmm. And so that has kind of held that offense back. And so I'm excited to see for Kentucky how quickly Stein can get this up and going. I don't know if Craig sent you my thoughts or an agenda or any questions, but you once again teed up my next question, and I'll ask you this one and get you out of here.
I don't remember what Craig said, actually. I'd have to go back.
I'm just going to pretend we're in sync. You mentioned kind of a win total, not just from you, but from the program as a whole. Do you think that there's a win total number that Stein needs to hit this year to consider it to be a success? It is a build, and I think there will be a little bit of patience in Lexington, especially as compared to somewhere like Auburn or Florida, where they tend to be a little more, in my opinion, unrealistic about how quickly we can get some of these things done. You mentioned you thought there was a way for them to get the 6-6. Is that like a Is that a floor number for you that he needs to hit for success? Or what could this fan base and program overall, we don't know, you said, new AD coming in is a great point as well. Mm-hmm. What does 5-7 look like in the eyes of the Lexington faithful?
I think if they go – if you go 5-7 playing in this league and you play at least an exciting brand of football – people, I think, will give a little bit of leeway, especially in that first year. I think if they got to 6 wins and made a bowl game, I think it would be a huge success. I think people would be thrilled to death here. Now, I know we got Kentucky kind of got spoiled there for a little bit. I know it's crazy to think, but you know, you think about Stoops, so they went to 8 straight bowl games. Won 4 in a row, both school records, but then obviously the last 2 years were not, you know, what, 9 wins in the last 2 years, not what Kentucky fans, the Big Blue Nation, was hoping for. But I think if you win 5 games is pretty good, and you're not getting blown out in all of them. You know, you're not losing, you know, as you've seen sometimes, you know, like 62-3, or, you know, because you think about Kentucky's schedule, you start with Youngstown State, and then boom, week two, you got Alabama. So,
exactly. Yeah, competitiveness, right. I think, is a big key.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for, was being competitive. I think 6 wins would be the ceiling, honestly, just based on there's so many unknowns. And you know, every year you have that handful of teams that no one's expecting to do anything. And you know, for years the rallying cry around the program was, why not Kentucky? So you know, they're always saying, why can't this be Kentucky's year? We'll see. Like I said, I think 6 wins. They go 6-6 and go to like the Liberty Bowl or the heck, even the, you know, Gasparilla Bowl or something, assuming we still have all those games. You know, I think we still will. I think people would be thrilled to death. And then you just take it the next step, because one thing that I've noticed is that Stein is going after a different type of player than what, you know, Stoops. You know, Stoops, they did, and to his credit, they took a lot of 2-3-star guys that a lot of schools didn't. A lot of the bigger schools weren't interested in, and signed them, and they developed them. You know, the recruit and develop motto that they had. They did a great job. But you see now with Stein, they're after these four and five star guys that usually would never, yep, not come to Kentucky. And but you know, like one name just to throw out there, Kenny Darby, a Louisiana native. We're talking about the wide receivers again. He's a guy who was, you know, ranked as looking at my stats here, he's like the 27th best wide receiver in the country. And they've got him coming in, and they think he's a guy who can contribute from day one, because he's, yep, he's got all the tools. He's got to put everything together. But yeah, I think if Kentucky goes 6-6 and was make a bowl game, I think everybody here in the Commonwealth would be ecstatic. So in a first season. And as I said, and if, you know, you go 2-10, then, you know, we might be having, you know, just a different conversation, but I still think, yeah, you know, you got to give him at least a couple years to get, you know, get footing and get his type of players. And
oh, I agree. I am the poster boy for patience when it comes to coaches around here. Kevin McGuffey, covering Kentucky for Last Word on College Football. Kevin, thank you so much for being with us. And I'll shout you out as you mentioned bowl games, because as good as your Kentucky coverage is, this guy's bowl predictions are top notch. And so, well, as we get close to football season, he'll start predicting bowls, yeah, as soon as they start snapping football. So yeah, we're excited to hear all of that and to hear more from you in, mm-hmm, the future. Kevin, thank you so much.
Well, thank
for
you,
being
Rob,
here
for
with
having
us
me
tonight.
Up. Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Anytime. Love coming on and talking football with you. So, yeah. And like I said, sometime, just as a teaser, it'll be sometime in the middle of the summer, I'll do like a first bowl projection. It's probably somewhere about, you know, mid, early July or
it'll
something.
It'll be a great, so, great talking point for us in the middle of summer when there's not much football.
When there's not much going on, yeah. Yeah, that's usually kind of the idea. Like, you know, there's not a whole lot. As you said, it's, you know, the fall camp hasn't started yet. Yep. So you can throw that out there and say, oh, hey, well, this guy's got, you know, South Carolina playing in such and such bowl or got, you know, so, you know, kind of thing.
That's what we like to hear. South Carolina's playing in the such and such bowl. You heard it here from Kevin McGuffey. Kevin,
see, I think South Carolina is going to be, you know, there's a whole group of schools right there that just, you know, ready, I think, to, you know, take, you know, get back South Carolina, get back on top of things, you know. And I, you know, it pains me to admit it, but yes, the Gamecocks have dominated Kentucky the last few years after Kentucky, well, you know, turned the tide for a few years. So
the Cats will come back in a rare back-to-back to Columbia stint with the new 9-game schedule and the way they shifted around. So we'll see what happens there. It is 8:59 on SEC Sunday night, and we'll be right back. Thanks again to Kevin McGuffey for being on here with us. And as we close the show, I'm going to run through the Kentucky schedule. We'll see you in just a moment.
All right, thanks.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team!
This is SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network, proudly presented by Hewitt Diamandouros Law. And we have one more moment here for you on a Sunday night where it has been a ton of fun. Thanks again to Kevin McGuffey right there coming on, talking UK football here in the spring. Casey Cregan is always with us to bring us the best from MBG and the boards. And now we look at this Kentucky schedule. And yes, we are missing Craig's picks tonight, but have no fear. We will get his thoughts shortly when he returns. But as Kevin mentioned, the Cats begin with Youngstown State. I think we can chalk that up as a win. If they don't win that game, we're going to have questions about Will Stein immediately off the jump. But then it's a tough stretch to start the year. Week two, the Wildcats go to Alabama, and I mentioned it before. I think that Alabama is going to be okay. By the time we get to Alabama week, this is going to be abundantly obvious that I love Keelan Russell, and I think that the Tide are going to find their footing. Will they be back in the playoff? I think they're right on the edge. This could be a 9-3 Alabama team, but I don't have them falling off a cliff. I think Keelan Russell has the ability to figure things out, and the question just sits there. Can DeBoer and Grubb figure out how to manage a mobile quarterback? Can Keelan Russell be accurate enough as a passer to become a primarily passing threat that takes off and makes plays with his legs? I'm going to lean yes. So that's going to be a loss for Kentucky for me. And then the following week, they go to Texas A&M. Now, there's some questions here for me. When it comes to Texas A&M, I have questions. We saw what they did last year. They made a playoff run, or they got a playoff berth. We can't really call it a run because they couldn't do anything against Miami, and we ultimately saw that Miami was able to do that to a lot of teams. But Texas A&M got the benefit of a schedule that we thought preseason was going to be tough. This is why we love predicting schedules in March. We love predicting schedules during spring football because, to be honest, we don't know anything about the schedules at this point. But we're going to pretend that we do, and we're going to make some predictions, right? Some of these teams that we have high expectations for, that media types like myself are screaming for, they won't be that good. Other teams that we're kind of sliding over, that we're just brushing off, they're going to be really good, okay? Kentucky is a sleeper pick in the spring. A lot of teams are saying, there's your dark horse. Watch out for Will Stein in Kentucky. Craig's one of those guys. I'm not. And even though I have questions about Texas A&M, I think the Cats are going to lose that game as well. So they're going to start 1-2 and then recover with South Alabama. I'm going to give them that win. Week 5, they got to go to South Carolina. Now, we've already picked this game because we've already covered South Carolina, and I had South Carolina at 7-5, and I had them winning this game. So that means Kentucky has to lose it if I've already picked South Carolina to win. And then we have LSU coming to Lexington, and I'm going to be pretty high on LSU, I think. We got a little ways before we discuss them, but they're coming up quick. They're coming up quick on our list of spring previews. I have LSU winning the game. At Oklahoma, got some questions here too. We've talked about Mateer. We've talked about the health. Can he be the primary runner? Can they figure out a way to get some balance on offense? I still think Oklahoma has enough to handle it. Week 8, Vanderbilt comes to Lexington. I'm going to give Kentucky this win because I think that Will Stein is going to figure some things out. I have a lot of questions again about Jared Curtis. The learning curve. I think that Jared Curtis can be an excellent player in time. I just think they're going to struggle in year one under him. I think that the drop off from Diego Pavia is going to be more than Vanderbilt can handle in year one. And so I'm going to give the win to Will Stein. Bye week in week 9, then Kentucky goes to Tennessee. I had them losing that game. Our friend Chris Marler was on here last week talking about how high he is on Tennessee. I might not be quite that high, but I'm optimistic on Rocky Top. Florida comes to Kentucky, where they've had a lot of trouble in the past handful of years. It has not been kind, but I like the Florida roster, and we just talked about them with Allie Peake-Wilbur last week. Super excited about what they may be able to do in Gainesville. I have one or two questions, but not enough to say that I think they're going to lose this trip. And so that's going to be a loss for Kentucky as well. At Missouri, we have not gotten here. I'm excited to have Maggie Johnson on in a few weeks to talk about Missouri. It's going to be a fun conversation. Austin Simmons is the sleeper transfer portal acquisition of the offseason for me. I've said it time and time again. I love that matchup or that match between Simmons and Eli Drinkwitz. I think that putting them together is going to unlock something in this Missouri offense. They did lose some pieces, but going to Como is going to be too much for Kentucky. That's a loss. And then finally, when you get to the game with Louisville, and this one's in Lexington this year, I think we can throw everything out. This game has proven no matter who is the better team that surprises can happen, and I'm going to give this one to Kentucky this year. I have them finishing 4-8. So right there below what Kevin said he thought would be a quote-unquote successful season, but you can tell. Even from talking to him, he's right there in Lexington. He's in the news. He works in the news. He covers the team. Expectations are maybe we can get to a bowl game. Okay. So outside of there, people want to talk about Kentucky maybe jumping up and striking, about them making a little bit of a run. But right there, we just talked about it in the heart of Lexington. Maybe we can make it to a bowl game. I don't have them quite making it. 4-8 in year one under Will Stein. That's my prediction. This is SEC Sunday Night, live on the Chief Sports Network. I'm Rob Williams. Thanks again to Casey Cregan, to Kevin McGuffey, and shout out to my boy, Craig McMichael. We will be back next week. Make sure that you tuned in here on the Chief Sports Network all day, every day for South Carolina Gamecocks coverage and coverage of the state with Four Quarter Friday. Please go to the Inside the Gamecocks YouTube channel. go to the Four Quarter Friday YouTube channel and subscribe to both of those channels as we continue to see coverage of those teams and the state of South Carolina grow and emerge right here on Chief Sports Network. Again, this is SEC Sunday Night. We'll see you next time.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.